Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 108, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again, and if you're joining for the first time, we're glad you could find us. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, Optus reveals new prepaid plans charged daily instead of monthly. There's a new way to take selfies with a drone, and music recognition app Shazam is now available for your Mac computer. In the Tech Guide reviews, we check out the LG G3 smartphone, as well as the Samsung M7 wireless multi-room speakers. In the Tech Guide interview, we chat with Manu Dupont, the co-founder of Ride Surfing, the app that provides a new way to get you to your destination. And we'll bring it home with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's jump straight in. Well, Optus today announced new prepaid plans. Now, typically a prepaid plan, it's a bit of some alliteration going on there. Prepaid plan is normally charged monthly. Now, so you buy your credit, whether it lasts 30 days, 60 days, and once that time is up, you lose all of your credit. It all goes away. And no matter how you use your phone that particular month, the credit does disappear and you still pay that same amount per month, depending on how much you want to prepay. Well, Optus have come up with a new idea, and it's a prepaid plan that's calculated daily. So instead of you being charged per month, so no matter how you use your phone in a month, this is taking it to a day-to-day usage model. So this is particularly of interest. It suits obviously two different types of users. There's the light user and a heavy user. And the other additional fact with this plan is that your credit lasts up to 6 months. So now you can choose plans starting from $1 a day. So that gives you a certain allowance of calls, texts, and data. So if you only happen to make a couple of calls, hardly use any data, for that particular day, you're going to be charged $1. If you need to use more data on another particular day, you might move up to the $2 per day charge. And on that particular level, you get unlimited calls, unlimited texts, and 500 meg of data for that particular day. So if you want to go even further, you need one particular data-heavy day, you can pay an extra $2 for an extra 200 meg or an extra $5 for 500 meg. Now, you buy this credit, you can recharge from as little as $10 or all the way up to $100. And as I mentioned, this credit lasts up to 6 months. So if you buy $100 worth of credit and you're a relatively light user, so making a few calls a day, receiving a couple of calls a day, maybe checking out the internet, it's quite possible that $100 can last you up to that 6 months. And if you do run out, you receive a notification, then you just recharge again from $10 all the way up to $100, depending on how you want to use your phone. So interesting just to see that Optus has gone down this path. They want to give customers choice, obviously. They want people to be charged for how they use the network, rather than being giving a lump sum, rather than having to pay upfront $30 or $50, whatever their 30-day prepaid plan happens to be. And once that 30 days is up, It's all gone. Whether you've only used your phone 4 times or 4,000 times in that particular month, there's no real difference. Well, now with a daily plan, that is all going to change. If you want to check it out, you can take a look at the story I've written at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, we've all heard of selfies. It's a booming part of the having a smartphone is the fact you can take selfies. That's a picture of yourself. All phones now have front-facing cameras, and it's become quite a phenomenon. A lot of times we're looking at social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. There's lots of photos of people taking of themselves. Well, this is a craze that isn't going to go away, but what is happening, though, it is changing slightly. And we're talking about taking selfies in a slightly different way with a drone. Now, drones are those remote control helicopter type devices that are being used increasingly by photographers to capture pretty stunning pictures and videos. Well, there is a new phenomena called dronies that allows you to take selfies with the drone. How it works is the drone obviously hovers quite near you or above you. It sort of takes in where you are and snaps a photo or a video. So these dronies are obviously a little bit more of a dynamic self picture than your traditional selfie. In fact, one place over in New Zealand, Tourism New Zealand has also have started using the drone on the ski fields. This winter was the first time that they've used it. And what people do is if they want to have a droney taken, the drone hovers close to them. And then flies away and pans widely so it can see where you are. So it starts off tight and then flies up into the air and then reveals where you are. And in this case, these beautiful ski fields of New Zealand on the South Island of New Zealand. I have on my story on Tech Guide included a video of a droney as well as a picture of a droney being taken. So is this the new craze? Drones have really become a very popular product. Not just as a toy, though they were traditionally the AR drone from Parrot's been out a few years now, and it was more a toy, a little plaything that you can control with your iPhone or your Android device. And then later on, they added a small camera so you could use it to take pictures and do things like that. But now there are models, and in particular, the one that I mentioned in my story is the DJI Phantom, the Phantom 2, as a matter of fact, Phantom 2 Vision Plus drone. Can capture full HD video and pictures at a resolution of 14 megapixels. So these are devices that aren't just designed to be flown around for fun. These are devices that are being used to capture videos and pictures from these amazing angles because you can fly them almost anywhere up to a certain height depending on where you're living. But the pictures and videos you're going to get are quite stunning. And the fact that they've now made their way to being used to take photos and videos of yourself is, I think, an idea that's going to catch on, especially in those areas where there's a picturesque picture to be taken. So if it's I wouldn't be surprised. Like, for example, you can do the Sydney Harbour Bridge climb. And at the top of the bridge, what the instructor, your tour leader, then pulls out a digital camera and takes a photo of the group, arms in the air, have a look at us, we're on top of the Harbour Bridge. Well, imagine if there was the option of them flying a drone out a fair way out from the top of the bridge to take in that whole vista. So you can have the opera house in the background and the beautiful harbour, and it's captured by a drone. Now, it'd take some skillful flying at that height, but it is possible, and I think is something we're going to be seeing a lot more of moving forward. The droney, I think, is here to stay. The selfie, probably limited to being captured on your smartphone, but the dronies, I think, keep an eye on them. Put your eyes, look up to the skies, the dronies are coming. So in this case, selfies are literally taking off. Now, I'm sure you've all heard of that application on your smartphone that helps you recognize music. Now, you've got you hear a cool song on the radio or on the TV, and you whip out your phone and use an app called Shazam. And what Shazam does, it listens to the song and actually recognizes the tune and then offers you an opportunity to buy the song on iTunes or listen to the song for free on RDO or Spotify or any of these other music streaming services. And that is a very handy app, I have to say. Whenever there's a cool song on the radio, traditionally you'd have to wait for the announcer, hopefully, to say the name of the song. So you can then make note or maybe buy it or download it, whatever you want to do. In the case of having a digital radio, sometimes the name of the song appears on your display. But oftentimes you're left wondering, well, what the hell is that song? What's the name of that song? It might be in a TV commercial or used in a movie or a trailer. Shazam allows you to recognize that music. Well, Shazam is now available for Mac computers. So it's coming to the desktop. So imagine having Shazam, the power of Shazam, running permanently in the background. So all the time your computer's on, Shazam is running in the background. I've been using Shazam for Mac for a few days. I've installed it on my iMac as well as on my MacBook Pro. And it is really interesting how much music it can recognize. And I'm talking just while I was watching television, I was watching a few programs, and the number of popular songs used in ads and in TV shows, I've got a massive list of songs. And what it does, once it recognizes the music that it hears, it then places it in a playlist that you can access later. So if you want to see all the songs that have been recognized by Shazam since it's been installed, or since you can choose to launch Shazam when your computer starts up, so it launches on startup, or you can just activate it whenever you feel like it. In my case, I've had it running since for a few days now on my desktop, and it's recognized a whole list of songs. Now, you can go in and download those songs. There's a direct link. You can download the song on iTunes, so obviously you want to buy it. But there's also the other option of clicking on the name of the song, and then it takes you to the Shazam site where it offers the lyrics of that song in case you wanted to sing along with the music you're hearing. So a great way to discover the music around you. It's effortless because you don't actually have to, with the smartphone app, you have to take your phone out of your pocket or your bag. You got to find the app. You got to fire it up. You aim it, hold it near the radio, wherever it happens to be, the music happens to be coming from, and then you get your result. Well, in the case of having it on your Mac, installed on your Mac, it does it all automatically in the background, and you do see little notifications slide in from the right-hand side of your Mac to say the name of a particular song. Now, I was watching The Block on Channel 9 yesterday, and they had this was the episode where they had the room reveals. And often in the packages that they put together, the editors often have a popular song playing in the background. And it did recognize all of those songs, including Chandelier by Sia, which is a very popular song. My ringtone on my phone, my iPhone ringtone is Oxygen Part 2 by Jean-Michel Jarre. And it also recognized that. It heard my phone ringing and recognized that it was Oxygen Part 2. So there you go. Shazam, very accurate, very handy, so that you are aware of all the music around you. So you'll never, ever have to ask, what's the name of that song ever again? You want to read that story? It's at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. And Netgear have just released the Nighthawk X6. It's the world's first tri-band router, and it's only available from Netgear. The Nighthawk X6 R8000. Now, think for a moment about the number of wireless devices you have in your home. Is it could be 5? Is it 10? Maybe even 20. If you're like me, it's way more than 20. If you find your devices, though, aren't performing as fast as they should, whether it's wireless streaming or gaming or updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and your devices are fighting each other for network bandwidth. Well, the latest router from Netgear eliminates that problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in your home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R8000 Nighthawk X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett. Tech Guide.
Okay, we're going to kick off our reviews this week with a very, very, I think, high-quality smartphone. And we're talking the LG G3. It is available now. I published my review a few days ago. It is actually available right now. We're recording this on Monday, August the 4th. It is available from today. So the LG G3 Android smartphone. I rate this as one of the best Android smartphones released this year. That's how highly I think of this device. There are several reasons behind that opinion, and I'll go through them right now. Well, first of all, the G3 is made to look and feel like a premium product. It's made to feel like metal, but it's actually high-grade plastic, would you believe? But it does look like brushed metal. That aside, what I really like about it is the fact that there is an edge-to-edge 5.5-inch quad HD screen. And quad HD means that it's not 4K, but it's got four times the resolution of previous smartphones. So it's the actual resolution is 2560 by 1440, and that's with a PPI of 538. Now, to compare that to the iPhone 5S, the iPhone 5S PPI has 326 PPI compared to 538 pixels per inch on the LG G3. So right off the bat, that screen is really going to impress. Now, what I like about it, though, is you get a 5.5-inch screen inside a chassis that's not much bigger than a phone with a 5-inch screen. So when there's a picture of on my review of the LG G3 sitting next to the Samsung Galaxy S5. The G3 screen is 0.5-inch bigger, but the devices are virtually the same size. I think the G3 is a couple of millimeters bigger. But the point is you're getting more screen in a smaller space. So the screen takes up more of the surface area of the front of the device. Now, the reason it can do this is because the G3 also has, as was introduced with the G2, all of the major buttons are on the back of the product. There are no buttons on the front or on the side of the LG G3. So your volume keys, your on-off sync, your power key, are all located on the back panel of the smartphone. So whether you're holding it one-handed, in fact, it's easy if you are holding it one-handed to access those buttons, the volume key, the power key, the lock key. So rather than you having to use your second hand, your other hand to access your volume keys or lock the phone, you can still access all those controls and hold the phone in one hand and still control it all. So just that fact alone, I think, is handy. But what that does, it's cleared the space on the side of the device for the screen to go right to the edge. And that's the reason why it can fit a larger screen in that smaller space. Now, you look at your screen so much during the day, you'll never tire of looking at this screen. It is dazzling. So you see your websites, pictures, videos, and apps are going to look terrific. It's running the latest operating system, Android KitKat. That's, I think, 4.4.2. So you've got the latest software. It's also got its own user interface on top. It actually has quite a clean look and feel. It's sort of very flat, very even, understated design, which is very clean. And I quite like that as well. Each app icon has even been redesigned so that it does look pretty smart on that screen. But it goes further than just having a good screen. There are some smart features as well. One of them is the smart keyboard, which allows you to elongate the screen to suit the size of your hand. So if you need a larger keyboard, you can stretch it up towards the top of the screen so that stretches each of the buttons and lets people with large thumbs and fingers are able to type a little bit more accurately. There's also smart notices. So have you ever had anyone ring you and you've missed the call and you sometimes forget to call them back? Well, smart notice can remind you if you've had a missed call and then suggest, well, would you like to call them back now? It also, smart notice also takes note of the apps you haven't used for a while. So if these unused apps are just taking up space on your phone, the smart notice says, listen, you haven't used these apps for quite a while. Do you want to get rid of them? So it allows you to do that too, to free up that valuable memory space on your device. The camera is a 13 megapixel resolution, the main camera, and it's also got a 2.1 megapixel front facing camera. And I have to say, the camera, the picture quality with the camera is excellent. There's a feature called laser autofocus, and it, as its name suggests, it actually uses lasers to shoot out from the phone towards the subject to establish the focal length so it can focus. It can shoot out the laser and focus in less than 0.3 of a second. So you're never going to take, if you need to take a photo in a hurry, it's going to focus in 0.3 of a second, so the snap is going to be in focus. So that is an excellent feature. It's also touch and shoot, so you can actually not only focus but also capture the image with one touch. Now, we all love to take selfies. We mentioned earlier the dronies and selfies are a very popular thing nowadays, and the G3 helps you take your selfies even easier. Now, the biggest problem with taking a selfie is actually being able to reach the capture key. Now, the G3 allows you to do away with that. Now, what you do is you face the camera, so you turn the camera around to face you. Now, what you need to do next is, once you've set yourself up, you open up your palm, and it will recognize that you're there. So what you do then is, once you're ready to go, make a fist with that palm, so make a fist, and then it will begin a countdown. So all you need to do is pose for your photograph, rather than having to try to hit that elusive capture key. So taking selfies is even easier. Under the hood, 2.5 gigahertz quad-core Qualcomm Snapdragon processor, 2 gig of RAM. So performance-wise, this has the hustle behind the muscle. So it does back up all those features. So it does power that high definition screen. It also, all those features I mentioned are all backed up with solid performance. So this one can not only walk the walk, talk the talk, but also walk the walk as well. I've put up some sample pictures on my review as well. It's also 802.11ac on board. Of course, it's 4G. 300 milliamp hour battery on board. And in our testing, lasted easily through the day and into the next day. So good to know that battery can not only power that high-resolution screen, but also keep you going for the rest of the day with normal usage. So you're on Wi-Fi, you're browsing, emailing, all those things. Works really, really well. The LG G3 smartphone, priced at $799. You can read my full review, including seeing my star rating, at techguide.com.au. On to our next product in the Tech Guide reviews, and that's the Samsung M7 wireless multi-room speakers. Now, this is a new area for Samsung. The wireless speaker market is hotting up. It was pioneered by Sonos, a brand I'm sure you've all heard of. Well, Samsung have now come to the party with a pretty impressive product, I have to say. There's the M5, which is $399, and there's also the higher-end M7, which is what I got to test out for Tech Guide. Now, this is a triangular-shaped speaker. In fact, in the US, this speaker is called the Samsung Shape speaker. Back here in Australia, they didn't think we were as imaginative as that, so they called it the M7 as well as the M5. But I had a look at the M7. Now, it's got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi connectivity. If you're using just one speaker, you can connect it directly to your router if you've got a cable long enough, or you can use Bluetooth to pair your device as well as NFC. There's NFC, so tap your compatible product, and it will form that instant Bluetooth connection. Now, if you're planning on using more than one M7 speaker in your home, so you need to create what they call a mesh network in your home, and to achieve this you need a separate product called the Samsung Sound Hub. Now, this is also a product that Sonos users also require if they have multiple speakers in their home. The Samsung Sound Hub is then connected directly to your router and then wirelessly talks to all the M7s on your network, and you can have a few, I'm talking 10 or 12 of them on your network if you can afford it. It's a $500 speaker, $499 to be precise. But setup was pretty easy, three-step process, connecting the router to the hub and then also downloading the app. And then once you've done that, you can access all of your own music and some of the services that you enjoy, such as Pandora or Ardio, Deezer, your own music, as well as also Spotify. Now, I found it interesting that Spotify didn't work directly within the Samsung app. And the app, by the way, is available for iOS as well as Android. So Samsung are offering all users the opportunity to listen to their music through the M7. All the apps, all those things like Pandora, all those services worked within the Samsung multi-room app, except for Spotify. When we came to Spotify, it did say go to app, and so that you could only use Spotify through the actual Spotify app rather than through the Samsung wireless audio multi-room app. We had a bit of trouble connecting Spotify for some reason on our Android device, on our iPhone. Couldn't get it to work. After a while, it just started working. We don't know what we did, but that was an issue for us. It did take a while to connect. It also took a while to update each of the apps, so you need to keep that in mind. But the time that you wait is worth it because the sound quality is excellent. I was surprised that all in one, there's a woofer, there's mid-range drivers, so you're getting a nice all-round sound. Even though they're $499, which some people might say, look, that's expensive, you compare the similar Sonos products, and they're not far off that price-wise, but what you don't have on a Sonos product is a subwoofer. That's a separate purchase. On the M7, subwoofer included. There's actually 5 drivers inside, including that woofer as well. So great all-round sound. Bass, not too dominant, just right. And then mid and high range was excellent as well. So crisp, clear sound, whether you're listening to your music or even talkback radio, you can use TuneIn Radio through the M7 as well. I thought this is a great first up effort by Samsung that is just expanding their ecosystem even further. Naturally, you can link these speakers if you wanted to your Samsung television. So if you wanted to create a home theater effect, a surround sound effect, you can gather your M7 speakers and do that through your TV as well. The Samsung M5 and M7 speakers, M5 is $399, M7, $499. And you can read my full review and the sub, by the way, the Samsung Sound Hub, I should say, $79 if you want to have more, if you want to have multiple M7s and M5s in your home. Full review, and you can see my star rating at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Our Tech Guide interview is with Manu DuPont, who's the co-founder of a new app called Ride Surfing. The Ride Surfing is a new service that allows you to get a lift depending on where you are. So you're actually catching a ride, hence the name Ride Surfing. Get it? So there's passengers and there's drivers. So the app's only been up and running for about a month. Sydney-based startup, by the way, that's going to eventually expand to other areas in Australia as well as overseas. And what happens? You sign up using your Facebook account, and then you submit your credit card details so that it's a cashless experience. You once you finish your ride, you can use your credit card. Now, drivers can join the service after a background check and after information about their car is submitted to, so that they ensure they've got a reliable car that's clean and is going to be great for the service. And then passengers can then request a ride. Drivers in their area then can tell them how far away they are. They can see on a map where they are, so they see them approaching on the map in real time. And then when they get in the car, they simply tell them where they want to go, and then the app keeps track of the distance traveled and the time that the journey takes, and then at the end of it suggests an amount to be paid. So a very simple service, really filling a need where there's a lot of empty seats in cars. Most cars are driven by one person. There's one person in the car. Of course, they're driven by one person, but there's only one person in the car. So a lot of empty seats in the car, a lot of traffic on the road. This is a great way of carpooling and allowing the drivers to make a bit of money, but also offering the passenger a ride that's between 30 and 50% cheaper than a cab ride. We got the opportunity to speak to Manu earlier when we caught up, and here's what he had to say.
Hi, Manu. Thanks for joining me. We're here to talk ride surfing. Now, this is a new startup, a Sydney-based startup, that's going to help kind of revolutionize the way we get from A to B. Yes. Tell us a bit about it.
So thanks for having me here. So what ride surfing is a community
of people helping each other by giving each other rides. You're going to be having on the one side riders who want to go from A to B, on the other side drivers who have been background checked by us and who are ready to get, to take them there.
Okay.
It's everything happens through an app that we design ourselves, and you can basically be connected real time with any drivers available near you.
So anyone can become a driver, as you mentioned. You don't have to be a chauffeur or have a taxi license. So you can recruit drivers, but they've got to go through, you mentioned, background checks. But not only checks for the driver, is it true their cars also have to be checked out as well?
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, safety is our number one priority, and we want to make sure that it's safe both for the drivers and the riders. But as you said, so yes, anyone can become a driver if they go through the proper checks that we put in place. So we check their driving history, their police, so we do also a police check. We check their car, and we also train them to use the app.
So you don't just accept anybody. These checks are pretty stringent, I guess, and as well as the checks on their car, so that yes. Customers can be assured that they're getting a ride not with an axe murderer or in a bomb. They're going to be driven by someone who's actually quite pleasant, who's had a bit of social experience and experiences in life, as well as in a nice car.
Yes, exactly. And the social experience is something that is very important as well. I mean, I'm a driver myself, and to be honest, I mean, the thing that I love the most about ride surfing is being a driver myself as well.
So you've driven people around, right?
Yes, of course.
Are people aware that you're actually the boss behind this thing, mate?
Well, you know, it's I mean, it's just that it's it just happens to be that it's one of the ways that that we also get to connect a lot with the community. Uh-huh. But I can tell you that it's just typically very, very nice moments. The thing is that, you know, being in a car with someone and you have nothing else than talk just makes it very interesting.
Okay, and it's obviously it's solving a problem, I suppose, where there's all these empty seats in cars driving from one part of the city to the next.
Yeah.
So that's obviously something that you guys recognize and have tried to solve now with ride surfing.
Yes, I mean, just do the test. You go in anywhere in the city and you'll see that more than 80% of those cars are actually quite empty. At the end of the day, yes, this is what we're aiming for. But also it's about you solving this problem about how do you get an easy, affordable, and reliable way to go from A to B in Sydney, which in some cases actually lacks this solution. So, for example, just take going from South Surrey Hills to North Bondi, which is something that is crazy, but not really, actually. And it's not easy to go there. So you either go public transport, mm-hmm. or you go with an expensive, you know, professional driver. So sure. That's where we are. We're in the middle.
Okay. Now, no doubt, you do draw some comparisons with another service called Uber. So how does ride surfing differ from Uber?
So I think the biggest difference would be, I think, in the vision of what we're trying to build here. As I said in the beginning, what we're trying to build here is a community of people helping each other out. Mm-hmm. And the way we're trying to enforce this is by having a donation-based system. So what you can do is you can donate what you feel is appropriate for the ride. Mm-hmm. And we do suggest an amount that we feel is appropriate based on the time and this distance you traveled. Okay. But you can override that amount.
Okay, so there's no... So if you have a particularly pleasant drive, you can add a bit more, or if you just think you stick to the basics, you can stick to the guidelines, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, so that's why we could call this a donation, is that you choose what you feel is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And this is a very important part of it, because at the end of the day, what this is going to be is a self-sustained market where people give rides and then donate what they feel is appropriate.
And how has it been received so far? Have you got a few riders, a few drivers registered, and how's it going?
Yeah, so we've started a month ago, and we were getting really good positive response from Sydney. We're getting very good initial traction, so we're growing very fast. And one of the things to note is that we're also getting very good feedback from the riders. Mm-hmm.
And now this is a Sydney-based startup, so that's an Aussie product. Can you envisage this obviously spreading to other parts of Australia, first of all, and also the world?
Yes, definitely. I mean, ride sharing is something that is happening globally, so we want Australia to benefit from it. And so we want to launch this first in Sydney, but very soon in other cities in Australia as well, and then other countries if we're successful, yes.
Okay, so this is, it's relatively new service, and it's obviously something that people really can't have they really need to try it before they can form a proper opinion of the service, isn't it? So I know people are used to catching taxis and trying to find buses, but riding in a car with a stranger, it's really something that once you try it the first time, it sort of becomes easier after that, doesn't it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, so it is not as new as what people would think. I mean, going to somebody else's car, everyone has done it already. Everyone has been in the friend of a friend's car. Just do it like that. So at the end of the day, going into a mate's car, being picked up from the airport, is what you have to think about ride sharing. What ride sharing is. So it is new, however, and it is true that, you know, everything is tech-based, app-based, so you have to get used to, using the app. But what we believe is that this is going to be the new way forward in Sydney.
Mm-hmm. So say I've decided to book a ride. I enter where I want to go, and then how does it work? Do I see the drivers in my area, and can I see them in real time as they're approaching?
Yes, the way it works is very simple. So you open up the app, then you see the drivers next to you. You're going to be so you request a ride, and then you're going to be paired with the closest driver to you. The driver actually agrees to take you anywhere you want to go in Sydney right now, and so you jump into the car.
So you don't have to say your destination. You can just
Not now. So the way we're trying to do this is also to make sure that anyone can go anywhere. And so right now the driver is actually ready to take you anywhere they want. Wow. You want? Sorry, they're actually quite excited about this, and so I think they really like the idea of, you know, going anywhere they people want you to go. And then, you know, so you jump into the car, you ride together, you have a very good social experience. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the ride, there's a suggested donation amount that is prompted. Okay. You donate, and then that's it. You do it again. Everything happens through the app. It's cashless. So you enter your credit card once when you sign in. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
So in the app, does it give you, does it see how long you've been riding for and then make that suggestion for the payment, or is that something you work out yourself?
Yeah, so the app calculates suggested donation amount. Okay. It is based on the time and distance. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's you who decides what the amount should be.
Okay. So this is an opportunity, I suppose, for people with some time on their hands. They've got a decent car. They can make some money on the side.
Well, I think the main reason why people do it is to be honest is because they love the idea of ride sharing. They love the social element of it. Mm-hmm. But obviously it has to be interesting for everyone. We want this to be a community that is going to be self-sustained based on donations. And yes, for sure you can expect to potentially make some money out of it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what we really want to focus our vision on is how practical it is, how easy it is going to be to go from A to B, because you will have that many drivers available to take you anywhere you want.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a great prospect there. Good luck with it, and thanks for talking to Tech Guide today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Righto, we've got a very quick Tech Guide Help Desk for this week, and it's a question that we actually got through our forum. We were asked, what is a good program to open Microsoft Office documents for free? Now, rather than springing for Microsoft Office, this particular person wants a way to open them for nothing. And there actually is a program called Apache Open Office. Of course, it only works on Windows machines, but it does open your Word, Excel, PowerPoint documents. Just gives you the basic ability to open and read, make some changes, but it doesn't really it doesn't replace Excel or PowerPoint. So heavy users who just want to read something real quickly, this is okay. If you want to get in, make changes, look at all your transitions and all your effects, it's not going to work very well. It's free, so don't expect this to have all the bells and whistles, but there's no subscription fees. It's free to download, and if you at a pinch need to view some Microsoft Office documents, Apache Open Office is something that will allow you to do just that. And that brings us to the end of another program. You can read more about everything we've talked about here at Tech Guide at my website, techguide.com.au. A special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. Been great once again having your company. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.